States from Islamic terrorism. We know exactly what's going on, and they're not planning anything. Does anybody besides me notice that Barack Obama talks like Yogi Bear? Hi, boo-boo. We're totally safe from Islam. We don't know what's coming next. We can't detect anything. So that means everybody's completely safe. They're not in the U.S. Yay, yay.
Hey, Yogi. What do we do if they blow something else up, Yogi?
I don't know what we're going to do, boo-boo. We're going to blame George Bush. I don't know. We'll think of something. Yay, yay.
Yeah, how about you think of something now? Well, Donald Trump is proposing something crazy, isn't he? I don't usually like to talk about current events because I'd like to keep this show timeless, you know. And I know this is what makes this show unique. I don't camp around current events. We talk about the scripture. We talk about what God has to say. But every now and then, and, you know, you never know when people are going to listen to the show and news gets old quick. But one of the Republican candidates for president, Donald Trump, is saying, stop all Islamic immigration now. And everybody's calling him crazy. But this is what FDR did in World War II. The Axis powers, those folks, keep them out of the U.S. temporarily until we figure out what's going on. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. You are on the cutting edge of scripture here. Not necessarily current events. Every once in a while, I'll dabble into it. It's not that I don't know what's going on. I don't milk the details out of it. But I told you to watch Islam. I told you, forget Israel right now. Islam's the thing to watch. And A. Enoch knew this in 1938 because of his brilliant translation, a consistent translation from Daniel chapter 7. Islam is on the move, and this is prophesied. And it's also prophesied that the West is going to crush Islam. And it's going to happen with a strong president and a strong administration. Sure as heck can't happen under the Obama administration because they're not even willing, for the most part, to admit that we have a problem. And we all know that Obama is soft for the Muslims. We know this. Soft for Islam. And he hates Israel. Everybody knows this. It's no secret. So this can't be, it can't maintain this kind of administration and see these end time events happen, because we need to have a strong hand at the helm of Western power, which will be able to crush Islam in its tracks. And it deserves to be crushed because they're brutally killing people in accord with the Quran. It's in accord with the religion. It's not like these are extremists who operate apart from the Quran, apart from the religion. It's not. It's in there. It's in the book to kill the infidels and bring worldwide global sway of Islam. They want the whole world to be Muslim. And they have operatives everywhere. What do you mean? They're not in the U.S. They're not here. We can't detect anybody. Yay, yay. What do you think of that, boo-boo? I think that's wrong, Yogi. I think they're everywhere.
Yeah, it's true. Because they're willing to die for their cause. So, again, this is exciting to me. I hate to see it. I mean, I want it to stop, and it's going to stop. I'll enjoy, if I'm still here, if you're still here, I'm going to enjoy watching the Islamic religion that the movement, the terrorist cells squashed, crushed, stopped. I'm going to be happy about that. And at the same time, realizing that the Western power that does that will soon get so much power that it will become the wild beast. I'm interested in that as well. Because, as I've been saying, we're in this end time, a contracted period when these things are going to be occurring. And the seventh trumpet sounds, and I don't believe this will be heard on the earth. If I haven't said it yet, I'll say it today at the end of the week. The seventh trumpet's not going to be heard. All these things are going to be happening in heaven. But those who are in the know on the earth, who are watching this video series, which will remain in the time of trial and trouble, I pray, will be aware of what is happening and will be able to tell, because of events on the earth, what has just happened in the heavens. And man's reign is coming to an end. The point that I want to impress upon you now is that
These fearful judgments that are coming on the earth and the fearful trials which we've been considering are only introductory to the millennium. And you say, well, Martin, that's a lot of trouble. We don't like the fact. Yes, 1,000 years is a long time. True. But we don't like the fact. We don't think it's a fair trade-off. All right, for one thing, what? You don't think it's a fair trade-off to trade off 3.5 years for 1,000 years of bliss? No, God could not do it any other way. This is what I'm hearing. God, why? If I was God, I would do it this way. Well, that's nice if you were God, but no, you're not God. And God is, as we said at the beginning of this series, remember this, God is short in his indignation and lingering in his blessings. He's quick in his indignation, and his blessings just linger and linger and linger. We wouldn't know that yet because we've only known Eon 3. We were born into this eon, as I was suggesting to you earlier this week, and it makes for a tough person. Some people are going to be born during the millennium. That's right. There are going to be children born during the millennium who will have to watch videos of this time or read books about this time or talk to their elders about the time we are in now. It's a very short period, but I tell you this, it's even more lopsided than that because not only do these trials bring us into the millennium, but they introduce us into lasting dominion, into the lasting dominion of Christ and his saints, not only for the 1,000 years, but for the eons of the eons. To God be glory for the eons of the eons, and the saints will reign with him for the eons of the eons. So that's a plural. You hear that? I think it's Ephesians 3:21. Look it up yourself. Eons of the eons. Okay, hang on. Oh, if it's not 3:21. For all the generations, to him be glory. To him, capital H, be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus for all the generations of the eon of the eons. That's eon of the eons. All right, now I'm going to have to look this up for you. All right, I thought I had it, but that was eon of the eons. Of course, I think you're aware, I've taught on the eons before. Go to the beginning of this series a year ago. I talk about the eons, very important topic. And the saints are going to rule for 2 eons. And these good eons are coming up. I'm looking this up. As I speak, the print here is kind of small. Hang on a second. E-O-N-S. It's critical to understand this. Okay. The eon, conclusion of the eon, consummation of the eons, for the eons, all these great unique phrases. This eon, before the eon of the eon, eons of the eons. Here's your references for the eons of the eons. Romans 16:27. Galatians 1:9. I think that's 9. Philippians 4:20. Revelation 1:6. Let's look up that one. Let's look that one up because it's in the unveiling. I think I know what it says. Well, I'm going to find out for sure. It's a long time ago since I've read that one. That goes way back to chapter 1. The unveiling 1:6. Oh, this is good. To him who is loving us and looses us from our sins by his blood and makes us a kingdom and priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and might for the eons of the eons. Amen. This is great. Listen, in verse 6, he makes us a kingdom and priest to his God and Father, a kingdom and priests. Now, in the 1,000 years, I haven't forgotten my main topic here, that you need to see that the seventh trumpet is not only introducing us to the millennium, but also to the new heavens and the new earth, to the eon after the millennium. This is far-reaching. Humanity will never again gain the reins of government after that verse we read in the Unveiling 11, that at the seventh, as the seventh trumpet sounds, this world becomes, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And doesn't it say there he will reign for the eons of the eons? All right, I'm going to go back there. Oh, man, I'm on a roll there. I guess I needed to take a breath anyway. All right, hang on a second. 11:3. Oh, that's the two witnesses. I'm so tired of those two. I've had enough of the two witnesses for now. Okay, here we go. And the seventh messenger trumpets and loud voices occurred in heaven saying, the world becomes... our Lord's and his Christ, and he shall be reigning for the eons of the eons. There it is. That's 11:15. He shall be reigning for the eons of the eons. That's not some haphazard phrase. That is a specific phrase. You know what the King James says there? It says forever and ever. Forever and ever. They ignore the plural. They ignore the genitive case of the. They blew this three or four different ways. Now, he will be reigning for the eons of the eons. Now let's go to the unveiling 1:6. Because this is a parallel passage. To him who is loving us and looses us from our sins by his blood and makes us a kingdom and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and might for the eons of the eons. Amen. Remember, he's coming to take his power. Now the saints are going to reign for the eons of the eons. These are two eons. To explain that phrase to you, I explained it a year ago. Many of you are coming on to this series new and you're not up to speed on this, and you need to be. We are in a series of time periods called eons. We are in the third eon. There are five eons. There have been two eons in the past. And you can find phrases that talks about hidden from God, from the eons, hidden from the eons in God, I should say. In Ephesians 2, Ephesians somewhere, you'll find reference to eons past, plural. The present wicked eon is Galatians 1:4, and you'll read it in the oncoming eons. And then you read verses like this in the unveiling chapter 1, verse 6, and the unveiling 11:15, that the saints and Christ are going to get glory for the eons of the eons. So the eons of the eons describe the two coming eons, comparing them to the entirety of the eons. It's a comparative phrase of the, like King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Here's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. The Holy of the Holies is the holy place of all the holy places. And these two eons upcoming are the culmination of everything God has been working for during the Aeonian times. And the saints of Israel will reign as kings and priests. Just read that. A kingdom. Kingdom. Make them a kingdom and a priesthood. They will be operating as kings and priests in the 1,000 years. They will be ruling kings, and they will be heading the religious worship priests. Remember, religion and politics. That's what Revelation's all about. This proves it, religion and politics. But now I'm gonna not only apply that to the millennium, but I'm going to go one step further, which hardly anybody does, and talk about the next eon. Few people ever talk about that, the eon 5. Israel will retire their priesthood. They're not priests anymore. Jesus Christ even hangs up his priestly garments to enter eon 5. Why? As we will see in the unveiling chapter 21, there is no temple on the new earth during eon 5. So there is no more go-between. A priesthood, everybody thinks, oh, that's great. There's priests. Oh, goody, 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 goody. That's not good, because it means that you still need a go-between. A priesthood is an imperfect situation, because the perfect situation would be God living with people, and you go directly to him, and you don't need these intermediaries who are putting on their garments and like, yeah, we're all that because we're the priests. Here come the priests. Well, they're going to be eliminated during eon 5. Israel at that time there will be a kingdom. They will function as kings, but not priests, kings. So it's not loosey-goosey language here in the unveiling when it talks about God, on the unveiling 1:6, talking about God making them a kingdom and a priesthood, because they're going to be both during the millennium, and they're going to be kings during the new heavens and the new earth. And the great thing about the seventh trumpet, as I hurry up here to get this glory stuffed into the end of the week here, at the end of this show, is that the seventh trumpet introduces this to us, because we're looking at a much longer, a more lasting dominion of the saints during both of the last eons, both, not just the millennium. And this is what I'm trying to get us out of thinking, that all these trials, this 3.5 years of hell is only for 1,000 years. That would be amazing enough if you ask me. I don't see what's wrong with that trade-off. But I'm telling you, it's even better, because it not only ushers in the 1,000 years, but the 1,000 years gives way to the new heavens and the new earth of eon 5. And we don't know how long that is. It could be up to 20,000 years, 20,000 years. It's not going to be no measly 1,000 years, I can tell you that, because it's an improvement. It's what God has been working for since the dawn of eon 1. And all of this is an educational process so that we can be returned to God wiser for the experience of evil and for this long drawn-out drama where we are learning about God, about His Christ, and about ourselves. God has given us this knowledge as a gift. My prayer for you is to grow in this realization and knowledge of Him.